Thank you, Tyler. And good morning. This morning, for a little while, we're going to talk about hope and despair. Hope versus despair, let's put it that way. You know, when we look around our world today, we see a world full of despair. But it's so great to know that we can still have hope. Recently, we just went through some primary presidential elections here in our state, and they're going on in other states also. I myself have mixed emotions about the presidential elections and what goes on and what's said and so on. Been through quite a few of those at this point in my life, and politics just isn't one of my favorite things to think about or go through. Now, somebody else it might be, but for me, it's just not a, doesn't give me a lot of hope in a lot of ways for some of the future things that might go on. And the reason being is because in past elections, we've seen a lot of promises made by the candidates and a lot of things that weren't done once they got in, or they weren't allowed to do once they got in, whatever it may be. And as we go through these things, and it continues on until our next president is elected, it depends on the person how you feel about this. I guess sometimes it kind of brings me down to the point of despair if I think about it for very long, because if we put our hope in a man, or as possibly a woman is running this year, then that person's going to let us down in one way or another. But then it turns me back to what's the most important thing, and that's what we're talking about, hope. Because in a world of despair, we can't rely on man for anything that for the things that we really need to and what we're here for. My thoughts turn back to the positive things here on earth and to that of hope. And that's hope in Christ, which we know is true hope. And I remember also that God has a plan, and God has a plan of what's going to happen to us and to this world. And God's plan, whether it's a good president or a bad president or anybody in our government, he has a plan that will happen. So if we leave it up to God, I think we can have hope. And I'm hoping that things do go well, because I know if we do get the wrong person in there, things can go really bad for us. So that's something really good for us to know, is that we have hope in Christ. And that's what we're going to discuss this morning for a little while. When hope is deferred, it maketh the heart sick. But when hope returns, it is a tree of life. We say of this person or that person, he has lost heart. What we really mean is that he's lost hope. When hope gets sick and dies, man becomes sick at heart. And life becomes empty because his dreams have expired and his purposes for living have stopped pulsating. But when hope is gone, all is gone. Nothing is left. But where hope is, there is power of life. Hope is the medicine that prevents heart sickness, and it's the tree that produces life. There's no tonic or medicine as potent as the hope that tomorrow will be better for us. There's no tree as fruitful to us as things desired and expected. Hope is an anchor to our soul. In Hebrews 6:19 it says, Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And when the storm rages, and when the engines, the compass, and the steering gear fail, sailors may still have hope in the anchor. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, the sailors too have hope in the anchor when the storm comes. An example I'd like to look at that kind of goes with this thought is in Acts 27, verses 18 through 25. Acts 27:18-25, shows an example of being without hope, and then hope returns. Acts 27:18-25. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm or loss. And now I exhort you, and be of good cheer, for there should be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood before me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Paul was sailing for Rome in this example here with a bunch of prisoners and soldiers. And they encountered a storm, which Paul told them, I'm seeing that in the future of something, what's going to happen to the ship, and it's not good, we shouldn't go. But yet they did not listen to him. And this storm came upon them, this typhoon with gale force type winds, beating on the ship to the point of depressing all who were on the ship. It looked like all hope was lost. They had pretty much given up hope. But Paul said, "An angel of the Lord appeared to me, and this is not going to happen to you as you might think. You're going to all be saved, except for the ship." So this was an example of hope being lost and hope being regained. Because as Paul said, "I believe what God tells me, that it will come true." And as we know, the story goes on, it did happen. And Paul did make it to Rome, because God had a purpose for him. Hope is also the moving force behind our activities. Sophocles stated, It is hope which maintains most of mankind. Our world is one of hope. Martin Luther philosophized, saying, "Everything that is done in the world is done by hope." And the Bible says, in 1 Corinthians 9:10, "He that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be a partaker of his hope, or a partaker of the fruit of his labors." When a farmer's trying to bring a crop, it's hope that allows him to do this. Hope that allows him to, that he believes that he will receive a crop and will receive the fruit of his labors. Hope of a victory urges the soldier to fight. Hope of oil causes the wildcatter to drill. Hope of winning makes the athlete run. And hope of the incorruptible crown of heaven inspires the child of God to run in the race of life. Find this in 1 Corinthians 9:24-26. Hope is a dynamic and triumphant power. Hope, the "I know and am persuaded" attitude, sustained or gave Paul the ability and the hope to get through his distressing experiences that he went through on earth. Paul said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Paul had hope. That's what sustained him through his troubles. He knew with God's help, he was bigger than the things that were trying to bring him down. Hope is also a gladdening power. The hope of the righteous, as it says in Proverbs 10:28, "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness." Some things go together like hope and gladness. It's through hope that man expects a blessing out of calamity. Hope sees a star and the world brightens up. The sun sets, but not as hope. Hope is also a pillow of assurance for weary heads. Hope is a pillow of assurance for weary heads. In Hebrews 6 and 11, the Bible speaks of the full assurance of hope. The full assurance of hope. So after we've had a very trying day here on earth, after things aren't going our way, and we've all had those days, most of us have had these days, isn't it a great and assuring thing to know that we have hope? We as Christians, as we lay down our weary heads on our pillows at night, it's great to know that we have the full assurance of hope, as it tells us here. Hope through Christ. Hope that if we should die in our sleep, that our souls will go to a better place. That's very comforting for us to know as we lay our heads on our pillow at night. That's what it's talking about here when it talks about the full assurance of hope. How is hope obtained? As long as there is life, there is hope. For the person that, as long as they're living, there is hope. When they die, that hope is gone. In Ecclesiastes 9 and 4, Solomon says, "For a living dog is better than a dead lion." I had to think about this for a little while. If you think about a living dog, is it talking about a giant dog? It's comparing it to a dead lion, and we know a lion is a great thing. We look at a lion, and it's something that's very powerful. I believe he's talking here about something small, like a small poodle or something like that. That would be better than the smallest of dogs would be better, has more hope, let's put it that way, is what we're trying to get out of this, has more hope than a dead lion. Also, there is hope in God. In Psalms 39 and 7, it says, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee." It gives us courage to do our best and leave to God the rest. Hope is also obtained through the Scriptures. In Romans 15 and 4, it says, "That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." We have to read them to know and believe them to hope. And the Bible gives us plenty of hope if we just read it and look and study it. Also, it gives us hope in this world to realize that our difficulties are not only common to us, but they're common to everyone. Other people have them too, and they persevere. And so can we. And we have God on our side if we're a Christian. We need to realize that these things don't just happen to us. So don't just think the worst when things don't go your way. Because as the saying says, there aren't so very many saws that never strike a nail. But hopeful carpenters, they just file the saw, and they keep on building. And when men of hope see their plans strike a snag, they just smooth the broken places, and they keep on building. Also, our experiences have given us hope. In Romans 5, 3 and 4, it says, "Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." Our experiences give us hope going through these tribulations and experiences. Our trial or proving has been a great teacher for us, which has taught us that most troubles really never occur. And the ones that do, they can some way be handled. But our greatest cause of all Our greatest cause for hope is the assurance of eternal life. It talks about this in Titus 3 and 7. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 19 it says, "And without it, we are of all men most miserable." So I think we need to ask ourselves today, do we have hope? I believe we all do. There's a few songs I'd like to look at briefly that talk about this. Fit very well with this. First one's number, they're all in the red book. First one's number 486. And it says, it's entitled, "Somebody Cares." Somebody knows when your heart aches. Somebody knows when and everything seems to go wrong. Somebody knows when the shadows need chasing away with a song. Somebody knows when you're lonely, tired, discouraged, and blue. Somebody wants you to know him and know that he dearly loves you. Somebody cares when you're tempted and your mind grows dizzy and dim. Somebody cares when you're weakest and farthest away from him. Somebody grieves when you're fallen. You are not lost from his sight. Somebody waits for your coming, and he'll drive the gloom from your night. Somebody loves you when weary. Somebody loves you when strong. Always is waiting to help you. He watches you, one of the throng. Needing his friendship so holy, needing his watch care so true. His name is Jesus. He loves everyone. He loves you. Somebody cares. And number 488. It's entitled, "Never Alone." "I see the lightning flashing. I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunders roll. I've felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of my Savior telling me still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. The world's fierce winds are blowing, temptation sharp and keen. I feel a peace in knowing my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger when earthly friends are gone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. When in affliction's valley I'm treading the road of care, my Savior helps me to carry my cross when heavy to bear. My feet entangled with briars, ready to cast me down. My Savior whispers his promise, I never will leave thee alone. He died for me on the mountain, for me they pierced his side. For me he opened the fountain, the crimson cleansing tide. For me he's waiting in glory, seated upon his throne. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone, no, never alone." The last one I'd like to look at is from 473, and it's entitled, "Farther Along." "Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. While there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. When death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and drear. Then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year. Faithful till death, said our loving master, a few more days to labor and wait. Toils of the road will then seem as nothing as we sweep through the beautiful gate. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by." I like the last part of this last song where it says, "Cheer up, my brother." In other words, have hope. Hope is what sustains us in our faith. "Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by." There's a lot of things we don't know now, but we'll understand them by and by. We're going to give you the opportunity this morning to put on Christ if you haven't made that choice yet. Because without Christ, there is no hope. There's no hope of heaven. We're going to give you that opportunity to come forward and to be saved, be baptized into his body if this is a time that is your time in your life. We'd like you to come forward if you have anything you'd like to confess before the church. If we can help you in any way, we ask that you come forward and stand and sing as we sing the last number.